Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher, getting in on a Sunday night a little early with the Cobra in the background because Matthew Stafford continues to march toward the MVP. The Rams are blowing out the Bucks, which we'll get to in just a second. Now, I've been with VSiN, and again, this is Sharp Money. You find it wherever you find your podcast. VSiN is the platform. I've been with VSiN now over 6 years, and this Black Friday special we've got running is the best one we've done in my 6 years. $60, you get everything through May 1st. So that includes, obviously, the Masters, March Madness, the NFL Draft, which is very important, daily best bets. It's just literally everything. Become a VSiN Pro, educate yourself, and Black Friday, the special, spread the word. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe, and you get it for $60. Samo, what's poppin'?
Oh, another fun Sunday, Patrick. Another fun Sunday where we got to see some good, some bad, some ugly, a little beautiful tonight. You mentioned Matthew Stafford. We get to record early because the Rams are just shellacking the Bucks, who are currently missing Baker Mayfield. His arm was in a sling to start the second half.
Yeah, Teddy. When
Teddy Two Gloves is out there slinging it around in Los Angeles. Don't know why you need two gloves in Los Angeles, but hey, Teddy, do your thing. Rams are stamping their spot as the number one team in football. I mean, that I had them number two behind Seattle. They are going to jump Seattle in the next week.
I was thinking about that because with your power rankings, you have the Rams. I mean, the defense, forget the offense, which is sitting on 34 with 10:40 to play in the fourth. The defense is a monster right now, and they're getting contributions from Forbes, who was a first rounder, the cornerback, Washington, and they're great up front as well.
When I talk about good defenses, there are very few defenses in the NFL that can mash together a top five defensive line unit and a very good secondary. And the Rams were not part of that group when we started this season. It was a very good defensive line, but the secondary left something to be desired. The last 2 weeks, this has been a awesome secondary from the Rams. It's really been about a month and a half now that they have been playing phenomenal football. When you add that secondary in, with what you have on the defensive line, and you have a pretty good linebacking crew in L.A. there as well, you end up with a defense that can dominate football games, and they dominated the first half against this Bucs team.
100%. All right, let's get to it. Mike Somich, Sharp Money is going to be here for you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody a little early. We will have an episode dropping on Thanksgiving as well, so make sure you check it out. Potentially, we might get it up a day early as well. So keep on the feed, and thank you very much for the support, and happy holidays to you and yours. Let's get it started. 241, Pittsburgh at Chicago. Chicago does cover the 2.5. It's a 31-28 winner for the Bears, and you're smiling.
This was everything I wanted from this football game. Enough back and forth, enough offense that people hopefully still believe in the Bears and the Steelers is not absolute frauds, because let me tell you, Patrick, these two teams are still absolute frauds in my mind. No Aaron Rodgers for Pittsburgh. It was Mason Rudolph. He played fine. He wasn't great, but he was okay. Pittsburgh's running game, really a big difference here for them. That's how they got the 28 up. 92 from Gainwell, 68 from Warren. They got a defensive score as well on a just ridiculous play by Caleb Williams, where he was just kind of floating around in the end zone with the ball hanging loose, and J.J. Watt comes in, strip sack, fumble, and a Steeler jumps on the ball there. Williams was okay throwing the football. Still not a great game from him. Able to hit D.J. Moore a couple times. They are who we thought they were, Patrick. Neither of these teams are actually good. They're masking around. They still think it's Halloween, and they're pretending to be good teams. I cannot wait to bet against both of these teams in the future.
I hear you, brother. They are sitting atop the North, and Chicago Friday. Remember, three games Thursday, Thanksgiving, a game on Friday at Chicago at Philly. And Philly right now, look ahead, is the same. It's 7.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I can't wait to talk about the Eagles specifically after we talk about that Cowboys-Eagles game, because that was a performance, Patrick, and both good and bad, and we'll talk about the tale of two halves there between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I happily will lay it with the Eagles in this game, though. I'll take the 7 right now. I don't think this Bears team is a legit contender.
Who's more fraudulent, the Bears or Pittsburgh? Because Pittsburgh returns home week 13. They got Buffalo. Buffalo 3 ahead on the look ahead. And you're starting to see some 4.5s pop up here.
Yeah, I think that tells you. Well, who's more fraudulent, the Bears or the Steelers? Probably the Bears because of the 8-3 record. The Bills have entered the chat on the frauds, though, after the performance we saw on Thursday night. So that's another team that's kind of jumped in there. I have not bet the Steelers-Bills game yet. It would be Bills or pass at this point, though, because I don't want to back the Steelers team. We are expecting Aaron Rodgers back for that football game, whatever that means. Like, I don't,
not
I don't
much.
Know how big of a difference there is between Rudolph and Rodgers at this point.
All right, let's keep it going. 243, the Jets are at Baltimore. So this is the importance of getting the right number because it lands on 13. It closes 14 before kickoff today, but you could have gotten 13s. You could have got 12.5s. With this matchup. So, again, it is a 23-10 winner for Baltimore, who keeps rolling.
Yeah, they keep rolling. And you mentioned it. Like, this was 14.5.
Quotations rolling.
Yeah.
It's a soft schedule.
It is. It's something, man. This was 14.5 last Sunday. We talked about how this is probably going to get bet down. It did. You mentioned we got down to, like, 12.5 at one point. Spikes back up to 14. And the Jets side was the correct side of this football game. I don't know what Aaron Glenn was doing. There was one decision this game was absolutely baffling to me. There was a variety of decisions that were baffling. But the one that really just blew my mind was in the third quarter. The Ravens come out, score a touchdown, take a 10-7 lead at the start of the third quarter, Patrick. So they have not exactly just moved the football easily on offense. The Jets defense handling them pretty well. The Jets go for it on their own 42-yard line on a 4th-and-2. Shockingly, they don't get it, because this isn't a good Jets offense, and then Baltimore goes down, scores, it's 17-7, and the game is essentially over. Like, why do you not just punt the football there? just punt the football. Give your team a chance. Like, you got Tyrod Taylor back there throwing to nobodies. What are we doing? And, that ended the game. And this is still a fraudulent Ravens team. I don't know how much you watched this game, but Lamar Jackson...
I think he's really hurt.
He is. Like, his knee, his ankle, you can just tell when he's avoiding pressure. He doesn't have the explosiveness. He's not as shifty, not as like herky-jerky as we've seen from him in the past. And it makes a big difference because it makes this offense less explosive. No one's worried about him running, so Derrick Henry's getting bottled up for the most part. I'm looking forward to betting against Baltimore as well in the future until we see a healthy Lamar Jackson. Kyle Hamilton also left this game late, who is their most important piece on defense.
Okay, donkey. By the way, Aaron Glenn, it's not working out with the Jets. We'll take you back in Detroit. Secondary issues all over the place. We'll get to that game here in a second. Baltimore does play on Thursday, Thanksgiving. They're hosting Cincinnati. Cincinnati loses. My assumption is you are going to see Burrow. And this look ahead, was it 10.5?
7.5.
Okay, to 7.5, and that's still where we're at, 7.5. Though, Circa is showing 7.
It was 9.5 before Wednesday. And then the look-ahead adjusted here because people were expecting no Burrow for Thanksgiving. And then when he went back to full practice on Wednesday and Thursday, we saw this one drop down from 9.5 to 7.5. Give me the Bengals. I don't want any part of this Ravens team. Not at all, especially on a short week with Hamilton. Like, this is a great spot to play the Bengals here in division. I don't love it because it's Burrow's first game back, and we have seen Burrow struggle. We talked about this with the Pats, even if he was in there. It's not a massive upgrade. When he's come back from injuries to start the season, it's taken him a month to get going again. The expectation you're going to get 100% here, I think, is pretty low. T. Higgins also exited this game with a concussion.
Yep.
That's you're not clearing concussion protocol on 3 days. So he will not be out there on Thursday as well.
Yeah, I got no read on that one. I probably would go dog. Baltimore, they got to show us something. I'm totally right there with you. Next up for the Jets, return home. They got Atlanta. That's a banger. Atlanta is laying 2.5 off the one look ahead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah, these two teams, man. Like, I don't know. This is a Falcons team that got bet against in the market. Kirk Cousins looked completely washed. I don't want to touch that one right now.
245. I've been waiting to talk about this one. The Giants at Detroit. Detroit gets a win in overtime, 34-27. They obviously don't close. Did it end up going off 14?
It did. It went all the way up to 14.
It did. Some simple math. Ben Johnson, people got upset with me back home in Michigan when I said, fire Dan Campbell and keep Johnson. They just won 15 games. What are you talking about? You just be smart. And I love Dan Campbell. He's a nice guy. A nice guy. My gosh, is he overwhelmed with calling plays. Secondary's a mess. This is not the same Detroit team. It's not.
No, it is not. First off, before we talk about Detroit,
yeah,
can we give a little love to my boy Jameis Winston? He needs to be.
I mean,
there.
He did. He was so funny in the game. He had a touchdown catch.
Yeah.
He threw a couple of Winston picks that are just like laugh out loud funny. But then he's making plays all over the place. It was the quintessential Jameis Winston performance.
It was the Jameis Winston experience and the full caveat of it.
It was
just like they're just awful picks. Like just like what are we doing here? But then the next time they get the football, he breaks a tackle in the backfield. Avoids the sack and then launches it deep to Wandell Robinson for 80 yards. You're like, what? Where did that come from? The touchdown he caught, one of my favorite plays of the day, not because he caught a touchdown. He literally like shook the defender and ran into the end zone.
Shake
like,
and bake. It was
beautiful. Breaking tackles out there like it's his job. Selly was pretty good, too, when he got into the end zone. He did a little Vegas roll of the dice.
All right. Take it easy.
Hey, I love Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston.
I can tell.
The NFL should sign Jameis Winston for like $15 million a year. And then anytime someone's quarterback gets hurt, Jameis can come in for 1 week. You can have 1 week of Jameis Winston on each team. So he's always a starting quarterback out there. We always get the Jameis entertainment moving forward.
May I ask you, and you bet on the running backs in this game for the Lions, may I ask you if there was no Jahmyr Gibbs, what happens in this game? Because Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm not kidding you, he had 219 on the ground, and he had 45 through the air. He went nuclear. He's a great player. But the bigger story here is Detroit's in a bad way.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned where Mike was right, the running backs go off. Where Mike was wrong, I thought this would be a different game state and Detroit would be ahead. And they would just be rolling the running game out there. But this defense just could not get anything going in the secondary. Winston's aggressiveness was a just consistent knife in the back of this defense because they couldn't handle him just pushing the ball downfield, throwing into man coverage, just saying, I don't care, I'll let my guy try and win. They couldn't stop it. And this was a Detroit defense that kind of waffled the entire game. I think a Detroit team that kind of got lucky to be able to win this.
Oh, no. The Giants outplayed them. They had over 500 yards. They controlled the time of possession. This is one of the worst wins of my career as a Lions fan. I'm a 47-year-old ass man. This is disgusting. And by the way, that takes us right to Thanksgiving. You're going to give me 3 with the Packers? Yes, please.
Really? You're there too?
Of course.
Oh, man. We were talking about this on Ready, Set, Bet because Matt's like, you're the biggest Packers fan. No one's going to want the Packers in this spot. I'm like, I kind of want the Packers
I
in this spot.
Love the, trust me. Hey, Chicago, remember last year, Eberflus, the donk, didn't use a timeout. Chicago was right in the mix as a heavy dog. Green Bay comes into this in a perfect spot. I love Green Bay catching the 3.
You know why this is a holiday up in Green Bay? This was Jordan Love breakout day. Couple years back against your Lions, 7.5-point dogs.
One of the great games a quarterback has played. He was exquisite.
That started that second half run for him, which absolutely took off right until they ran it. I believe it was San Francisco in the conference finals there. Hopefully we have a similar run, except this time they get the job done. One more thing on your boy Dan Campbell.
Oof.
Gibbs had 15 rushes for 219 yards. He was averaging 14.6 a clip. How does he not get 20 carries in this game? From the jump here, this should have been a heavy running game. Gibbs goes 15 for 219, averages 14.6 a tote. Why are we not just establishing the run and just grinding it down the New York Giants defense?
I do think Campbell's overwhelmed because the in-game decision-making was off as well. He's got a lot on his plate right now, taking over play-calling duties, and it's not a very good football team. I'm not crazy upset as a Lions fan. Because outside of the Rams, we're not seeing much. We'll get to that in Philadelphia and Kansas City and Indianapolis. We'll get to it. But again, we both like Green Bay catching the 3 on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, huge game, too. I mean, this is a game for the Lions that they absolutely have to have. They're half a game back of the Packers because of the tie, and they lost the first head-to-head in week 1, a rematch of the game where like Green Bay just dominated them. So a must-win here. And now they've got the Cowboys and the Rams in back-to-back weeks afterward. We'll talk about a Cowboys team a little bit later. This schedule not easy for Detroit here through this stretch, and they still need to win football games to make the playoffs.
And Green Bay favored in division, Detroit your second betting favorite, and then now the leaders of the North, Chicago, the frauds as you call them, they're your third betting favorite. The Giants on Monday night are taking on New England in New England at 7.5.
Yeah, nothing here for me. This is the same as the look ahead, so no adjustment off this. Not shocked by it. This was a Patriots team that would have liked to see a little more, but a Giants team that like should have Dart back. that gives them a little bit more juice. They're still playing like inspired football as well. Like, this was a Giants team that was all in from a effort perspective today. So they're not one that you can kind of cross off the list. Oh, like, I don't know, the Raiders or something.
Yeah, they're trying to get Kafka a job. Yeah. So they're going to play. Next up, 247, New England at Cincinnati. It's a 26-20 winner for New England, who keeps rolling through a schedule that is not exactly murderer's road. They don't cover the 7 here.
Pretty frustrated, Patrick, because I got the 6.5 on Thursday. I was happy we were ahead of the number. There were 5.5s available at one point on Thursday. The 5.5s cover. The 6.5s don't. Everything over that obviously all goes the Cincinnati way. No Burrow, no shock. We talked about it would be a surprise if he was going to be in this game. He ends up not playing. You get a late touchdown from the Bengals to kind of cut this one a little bit closer. A field goal gave the Bengals a chance, a late chance at the win, but not able to drive down the field with Joe Flacco out there. This was the least impressed I've been with the Patriots in a while. This is a very bad Cincinnati defense. You had a terrible pick six from Drake May early in this game. That was the first time he really looked like one of the younger quarterbacks in a couple weeks. And then you had an opportunity on the goal line where I think they had 8 different plays inside the 10 and were unable to get into the end zone against this Bengals defense. Just not as crisp of an effort from the Patriots as what we've been seeing.
Yeah, I would say at 10-2, you know, we just came off the Lions. The Lions won a football game and the Patriots won a football game, and I was disappointed coming out in both teams.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you're the Patriots. You've won a million in a row. You're going up against a bad football team, but that's kind of how they played.
It's funny. We talked about this on Thursday, how there's just not any like dominant teams in the NFL, or there's very few really good football teams. I think this kind of just continued to prove that point. The Lions, a team that I had in my top 5, they were disappointing today. The Patriots had an opportunity to impress. They were disappointing today. The Rams, really the one team that said, hey, look at us. Seattle actually played really well. That was not as close as the final score. But to me, it's just more teams not being able to impress.
Agreed.
In situations where you'd expect they do.
And Cincinnati now eliminated, so there isn't going to be – well, we'll talk about it a little bit, but Cincinnati's at Baltimore coming up Thursday, so quick turnaround for them. And it's 7.5. We've already discussed that one. And then we did say New England gets the Giants, and it is 7.5. We discussed that one. I don't have a play there.
Yeah, I have no play in that one. I do want to talk about Cincinnati's decision process here. You mentioned it. They're eliminated. Their donk of a head coach came out in the press conference and was asked, why would you play Joe Burrow at this point in your season? You're not going to be able to win the division. You're not going to make the playoffs. You want him to be healthy for next year. He's your franchise quarterback. You have no offensive line. Why are you running him out there? And the answer was, because we want to win football games.
Hmm.
And while I understand that is generally the goal, winning football games this year is now bad for your franchise. Like, at what point does the owner call down and be like, bro, don't start Joe Burrow? He could, yeah, A, get hurt, and then we don't have him for next year. Or B, he could win football games, and then we get a worse draft pick. They're 3-8. They could get a top 5 pick right now, Patrick. If Burrow comes back and somehow wins 2 games for them, they will be picking 9th, 12th.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? It's malpractice.
Yeah, but rest the donk toe, and just we'll see you next year.
We'll see you next year, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
See you in preseason.
Next up, you mentioned Seattle at Tennessee, 249, 30-24. Cam Ward was showing some fight late in this one. Obviously, don't cover the 13. That is the danger. But Seattle was impressive here. The score isn't indicative.
No, they were in total control of this football game. It was 16-3 at half. It was 23-3, and they were punting the football back to Tennessee. Tennessee houses the punt. All of a sudden, it's 23-10. Seattle goes down and scores. It's 30-10. And then you get 2 touchdowns from the Titans after the fact. So you have 2 touchdowns when the game's out of hand. You have a punt return for a touchdown to make it back, cut it back to 13. The game was already out of hand at that point as well. This is a Seattle team that just had a complete effort. Smith and Jigba is just
yikes.
Insane, dude. 8 for 167 on 10 targets, 2 touchdowns, averaged 20 yards per reception. He's over 1,300 yards now. Why does he not get discussed more for the Offensive Player of the Year?
I guess the assumption would be it's Jonathan Taylor and nobody else.
I mean, that's what people talk about. But like, Darnold had 244 passing today, 167. Yeah. Was to Smith and Jigba. Like, Darnold on the season has 2,785 yards passing. Smith and Jigba has 1,300 receiving. He's got almost half.
Oh, it's an all-timer
for the team. No one can cover this dude. He's scoring touchdowns. This is a very good football team. He needs to at least get some love, man.
Why are you mad at me? I didn't do anything. I love Seattle. I've been talking about Seattle. And speaking of Seattle, they got Minnesota. JJ and Minnesota, it's not good vibes right now. Watch the sideline when Minnesota's playing. O'Connell looks like he'd rather be anywhere. But there, Seattle look ahead with 7. It's up to 8.5.
Yeah,
rightfully so.
It should be. Go out and get this teaser leg right now.
Because yeah, get it down to 2.5.
We are getting to 9 very soon. We'll talk about the Vikings shortly. Woof. Yeah, look, this is a very good Seattle team. They're going to be able to handle business against J.J. McCarthy. I don't see any world where J.J. McCarthy doesn't start. And if it's Carson Wentz, bring it on. I will still happily lay the 2.5. I'll probably end up laying the 8.5 if it doesn't jump up by next week. But this is one of the best teaser legs of the week. It will probably not be available for the entire week. So go in, get your Seattle teasers now before that number evaporates.
Once it hits 9, you lose your tease on Seattle. Remember that. You got to go through the 3. So Tennessee next has Jacksonville in Tennessee. Jacksonville 7.
Kind of like the Titans, Patrick.
Oh, I love the Titans.
I mean, this Jacksonville team. Like, we'll talk about them as well. Trevor Lawrence, another woof. Yeah, I lean toward the Titans and the points there.
Yeah, I do too. I think 7's a really good number for the Titans there. And then upcoming for, we were talking Seattle. We already got through Seattle. So then it is Minnesota. No, I'm sorry. Seattle, Tennessee. We got through it. Let's continue. Minnesota, Green Bay, 251. Green Bay, 23. Minnesota, 6. Obviously, Green Bay covers the 6.5. Jordan Love played fantastic, and J.J. McCarthy didn't.
It's funny you say Love played fantastic. He threw for 139 yards in this game.
I know. Maybe it was. I'm going eyeball test. I just thought he was in control.
He was. They Green Bay stopped really trying in the second quarter. Once they got to see a quarter and a half of J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, they're like, guys, just don't turn the ball over. just we need 20 points, and we are 100% winning this football game. Just grind it out. Run the football. We don't need to throw it deep. And that's exactly what they did. They just kind of grinded out this game. Emmanuel Wilson gets 28 carries coming in for Josh Jacobs, who has missed this game with a knee. He ends up with 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. J.J. McCarthy was I mean, maybe one of the worst quarterback performances I've seen in the last 4 years. I mean, it was that bad today. 2 terrible interceptions. The numbers actually look better than he was. He was 12 for 19 for 87 yards. He took 5 sacks. Like,
He
just holds onto the ball too long. He doesn't have confidence throwing it. He's got happy feet in the pocket. This experiment should be over.
It will. Yeah.
This is
O'Connell's. They're digging in because they used a first rounder, but they. The Jacobs injury is important. Remember, Thursday, we both like Green Bay catching the 3. And then you look ahead for Minnesota. We talked about that number as the teaser for Seattle, 8.5. So we can move on from that one. Indianapolis at Kansas City. What a game. What a wild game. Kansas City in overtime, 23-20 to keep their season alive. They don't end up covering. Did it kick off 5?
It kicked off 4. Okay. So there were 3.5s and 4s in the market. KC is a favorite.
So many opportunities for both teams late, and it's kind of what we talk about with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. I think he's frustrated with the play calling, and I think he should be. What the innovative play calling we saw early from Nagy this season has evaporated.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been pretty. And one thing that, like, this was, we consistently saw wide receivers getting rush attempts. We saw creative route combinations to be able to open up tight ends early in the season. All of that has evaporated. Kareem Hunt got 30 carries in this football game. What are we doing? Like, Kareem Hunt should not be getting, he's not explosive at all. You're just basically saying a good outcome is 5 yards. That's what the positive outcome with Kareem Hunt is when he's got the football. So the play calling needs to improve, period. This is a game I think Shane Steichen's going to want back. That, to me, is the big takeaway. They turtled up in the second half when they felt like they could just hold on. They didn't push the pedal to the metal on the offensive side. And this to me was just unbelievable. They didn't just have Sauce Gardner cover Rashee Rice in the second half. Rashee Rice goes 8 for 141. You gave up a boatload to add Sauce Gardner to your roster. Isn't the whole point of adding him to your roster to man up against the best wide receiver and really the only explosive weapon the Chiefs have right now, because Worthy's not getting it done? Why are you not just putting him on Rashee Rice every single time? We saw in the overtime the big play to Rashee Rice to get them down there. I mean, it was just play after play after play, and Sauce Gardner is not covering him.
Yeah, and Mahomes missed a couple of easy throws, but then got the fourth down when they needed it. So you can't – listen, it was desperation time for Kansas City, and they turn around. They do play on Thanksgiving. All of a sudden, a really interesting game at Dallas. Kansas City is 3.5.
Oh, man, I hadn't looked at the reopen. Dallas was 4.5, 5 on the look ahead.
Yeah, it's dipped.
I like Dallas. And we'll talk about this Dallas team when we get there and the reasons why, but I like Dallas in that spot.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I like Dallas as well. Week 13, Houston's at Indy, and it's 3.5, Indy.
Give me Houston. Give me the defense, man. I think Houston could still win the division. I don't think it is crazy to say that, especially after this Chiefs loss. This Colts loss. They're sitting at 8-3 now inside the division. You've got a Houston team that is 6-5. There's 10 teams in the AFC who are 6-5 or better now, so a very crowded playoff race. But with the loss for the Colts this week, Houston now two back but has two games against the Colts. I think this is going to be a fun division right to the end. And the Jags are sitting there at 7-4. They're not good. They're not going to win the division.
No. The hook is really tasty. Give me Houston plus the 3.5. I agree there. Next up, 255, Jacksonville at Arizona. This is a winner for Jacksonville in overtime, 27-24. They do cover the two.
They do. They cover the two, and we kicked it two. It was three the majority of the week, and this was a popular sharp side on the Cardinals, so that ends up pushing. A tough game for the Cardinals here. They missed a 38-yard field goal, 37-yard field goal in regulation. So we could have had a very different ending to this game. It may not have even made overtime had they made it. This was just a complete spectrum of the Trevor Lawrence game as well.
There were some
very good throws. There were a couple really bad picks. There was a sack, fumble, six, touchdown in the first half as well that he gave up. He ends up 18 for 30 for 256, three touchdowns and three picks. And it's why I don't like Trevor Lawrence. The consistency just isn't there. You have flashes where it's really good, but we're 6 years into this experiment. You can't have flashes anymore. You actually have to do that, play in and play out. The red zone pick was terrible. The pick to give the Cardinals the football in Jacksonville territory was terrible. Just not a good game from the Jags or from Trevor Lawrence here, but the Jags still able to get the win. Brenton Strange, huge in return, 5 for 93 for their tight end. Jacoby Myers showed up, 4 for 50. He gets a touchdown. Parker Washington looked pretty good out there. Still waiting to hear when we're going to get Brian Thomas Jr. back for this team, but I don't trust this Jags team, man. I don't trust him at all. I don't like this defense. I don't like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, no, I co-sign everything you said there. Jacksonville, Tennessee, we both like Tennessee catching the 7. And next up for Arizona, let me find that. They're at Tampa. Tampa just wrapped up getting boat raced here in Los Angeles. 6.5, 6 on Tampa.
You know, we've talked about Arizona as an over team, and I would be very tempted to play the total in that game. It is hard to run to the window and bet the total. It was 49.5 on the look ahead. We don't know what the deal with Baker Mayfield is going to be. We're expecting Bucky Irving back, but if you have no Mayfield, that drastically adjusts it. Jags and Cardinals went over the total. They were at 47.5 when we talked about it on Thursday, so that one got home for us. This Cardinals team is an over team, but I don't know if I want to go back to the well against a Bucks team, and it's hard for me to bet that game without knowing about Bucky Irving or Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, we got to find out Baker as well. Good job there. Next, 257, Cleveland beat the Raiders 24-10 in Shador's debut. Close three, so an outright for Cleveland. I just never understood this number. We are talking about a Vegas team that has quit.
Yes. Yes, they should not
very
be
much
laying,
so.
Never laying more than a field goal. Shador Sanders goes over his passing prop because of a 66-yard screen pass. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it there. He needed, at one point in the fourth quarter, early fourth quarter, he needed 7 yards. And I was sweating bullets because I didn't think he was going to get those 7 yards to get over his passing prop. It wasn't pretty from Shador. He ends up 11 for 20, but 209, a touchdown, an interception. Rough day at the office for Geno Smith. Did you see the final sack numbers in this game?
Garrett had He had three himself.
He had,
how many total?
Three of the team's 10 sacks.
Yeah, Geno. Yeah, the offensive line is subpar. And Geno's holding on to the football. He's doing everything he can. He does not mesh in the Chip Kelly offense. It's very apparent.
Yeah, not great. You can't get sacked 10 times. Like Myles Garrett gets three of them. We saw 2.5 from Malik Collins as well. Just a sack party. It just every snap was just a literal rush to the quarterback and a meeting there. And it made this offense absolutely unwatchable and unmovable. And on that topic, breaking news here, Patrick, Chip Kelly has been fired.
Yeah, that does not surprise me.
As the
interesting.
Coordinator.
Okay, sharp money here. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're hearing it first. Good job, Samo. Chip Kelly, who was the highest paid assistant in football, just got canned. It never worked.
Do you get a buyout in the NFL when you get fired? Is this like college? Do you get like $50 million when you get fired?
No, I think he's fine. I've actually seen him walking over here by the beach. Little guy. Big belly.
There you go.
Next up for Cleveland, and I like Cleveland in this spot. San Francisco coming to town. You're laying 6.5 with San Francisco. I'll take Cleveland.
Are you saying Chip Kelly would make a good Santa?
You got big belly.
I mean, you know, throw a beard on there.
Be a little guy with a big belly.
He can get a job for the holidays.
He's a college coach. His offense is college oriented.
Yeah, and they need an offensive line. I don't know any offensive coordinator that would have had success there. So Raiders, Chargers, man, I this might be your other teaser, Lake Patrick.
I was just quickly on what about San Francisco, Cleveland? I like the 6.5 with Cleveland.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, San Francisco, that's Cleveland. Okay. I don't know. I don't know with Shador. What's the total in that game?
That number is 41, 40.5.
God, I mean, I kind of like the over. Because I think the Niners can move the ball against anyone, and I don't like this Niners defense at all. 40's
totally.
Is a low number, but I don't love Shador either. Like, but he at least took shots. Like, that was the one thing we talked about. Why? Like, his passing total was 158.5 today.
Well, he was taking shots, though. You're right.
He's throwing it downfield, and like that creates opportunities on both sides, the offense and defense.
One pass stands out. He rolled to his right, showed some pretty good arm strength, and dropped a dime. Other than that, he was up and down. You mentioned it. The Chargers are look ahead. I think was 8.5 hosting the Raiders. It's all the way up to 9.5, 10 at DraftKings.
Well, they stole our other teaser leg then, Patrick, because that would have been a nice one at 8.5. Now we're sitting at 10. I mean, it's never the Raiders until we get to like 14. So this is probably a game I just straight up pass.
259 Atlanta at New Orleans. Atlanta and Cousins 24, New Orleans 10. I was off on this. I like New Orleans. The steam was New Orleans. They flipped from dog to favorite. Atlanta and your boy Raheem Morris, whatever.
Man, this was a game.
I guess.
It happened.
Interceptions, gross.
It was not pretty. And Kirk Cousins like had the ugliest 16 of 23 I've ever seen in my life. He took the funniest sack in the world today.
Donk.
Where someone ran in, like jumps over toward over top of him, and he just turtles up and like just looks scared. He just looks scared.
Business decision.
Like, I just want to fall down now. Somebody let me fall down. Like you see other quarterbacks obviously try and scramble out and throw it. He's like, nah, I'm good. Like I've seen enough. These are two not good teams, Patrick. You mentioned the steam. It was all New Orleans steam coming into the week here, and this is a Falcons team that just kind of won. Not really sure how. You had two turnovers from New Orleans. Like they, if you look at first downs, though, New Orleans had 21. The Falcons had 13. 293 on the offensive side for New Orleans to 302 for the Falcons. So there wasn't like a drastic amount of difference inside of the total yards here. And the Saints did win the first down battle, but we just saw this Falcons team be able to make a couple bigger plays when it mattered. You had a big pass. You had a big pass to Pitts down the sideline that started a drive that got him into the end zone. You had a pick six for them. Like that was really the difference of the game for him.
It's Thanksgiving week. Sharp money listeners will be thankful. We're going to move on from those two teams and just quickly tell you New Orleans is at Miami. I do like Miami laying the 5.5, obviously.
Jeez. at least we have just two terrible teams, so it's at least entertaining. Yeah, it would be Miami or pass.
Yeah, and then next up for Atlanta, we talked about it. Atlanta at the Jets. I want nothing. I won't bet this game. There's no chance. It's 2.5 Atlanta.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, Atlanta should be a slight favorite. Yeah, there's not a big edge there. Look ahead was 1.5. So people actually liked the Falcons more than the Jets today, even though I thought both teams were kind of just bad.
261, Philly at Dallas. 24-21 winner for Dallas. That's all we have to say there. No, there's more. Philly was up 21-0. Mm-hmm. And Dallas a likable team all of a sudden. You're pulling for the tragedy, obviously. Schottenheimer's likable. Dak's likable. They won this football game. And it says more about Philly.
I'm going to get you a Jerry Jones sweater for the holidays, Patrick.
I want to go on the party bus.
I know. You find this Cowboys team likable. That's just funny to me.
I do.
So let me get this straight. A.J. Brown goes 8-for-110 in a tutty. Hurts throws for 289 and they lose. But when Brown doesn't catch the football and Hurts throws for a $120, they're unbeatable. I thought this was a really impressive performance from the Cowboys. Not only to be able to rally back, but what they were able to do defensively once they were down 21-0, they shut down this Philadelphia Eagles offense. This was a sloppy game, a lot of fumbles on both sides. One thing I walked into this game wondering, and I bet the Cowboys plus 3.5. I was hating myself for it when it was 21-0. I was very happy with my decision at the end of the game. But one of the reasons I bet the Cowboys here was because of the defensive additions we saw. I don't love what Jerry's doing there, but he has put together a semblance of a defense, making the moves that he did, where he added Clark in the offseason, and you add another interior lineman at the trade deadline. You get two players back from IR. All of a sudden, you have four starters who were not in there for Dallas before that are in there now. I thought this Dallas defense looked a lot better against the Raiders. This was obviously a much stiffer test. I thought the Dallas defense passed this test with flying colors, and this offense is going to be able to move the football against anybody. You've got two elite wide receivers, a good tight end, a good enough offensive line to run the football, and Dak's been playing phenomenal.
Yeah, uncharacteristic turnovers in the second half from Philly. If you're the offensive coordinator, don't turn on Philly's local sports talk this week. It's not going to be pretty for you, bruh. Dallas, we talked about them. We both like them catching the 3.5 on Thanksgiving, hosting Kansas City.
Yeah, give me the 3.5. I trust this defense, and which is crazy to say, but I like this is the thing is Dallas is like a top five offense, right? This defense was 25th, 26th in the NFL. Going into the bye, I think this version of this Dallas defense is like 14th or 15th in the NFL. And just having a middling defense with that offense makes that a very difficult football team.
And Black Friday is a deal we've got running at VSiN. Our special $60. Seriously, this is amazing. Goes through May 1st. So you don't have to worry about anything. You get it through the football season, through March Madness, through the NFL draft, through the Masters. It's our biggest new subscriber offer of the year. Don't wait. And make sure you spread the word. Just $60. You're going to get a lot of education, a lot of picks. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And speaking of which, Chicago is at Philly on Black Friday. And Philly's laying 7.
Laying it, Patrick. And this could be your other teaser game if you want. I think Philly is going to be very motivated here, coming in and taking on Caleb Williams and a Bears team. Awful loss to Dallas, where the taste in their mouth is going to be brutal. They're going to want to get back out there on the football field. I hate this Bears team. I don't love laying 7 with Philly, to be honest.
I don't. No. Honestly, Mike, I would be careful with Philly traveling back home. The stories that are going to start coming out. There are rats in that locker room.
Well, it's funny. Like they were 8-2, 9-2 coming into this game, and yet nobody was happy.
It's the unhappiest team. Remember 2 years ago when they absolutely plummeted?
Yep.
Hurts sounded like, and then they lost in the postseason down in Tampa.
They were 11-1.
Hurts sounded like he was so depressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, A.J. Brown, I don't know. I'm interested to see if A.J. Brown was happy after this game.
He should have been.
Because he got his 110 in touchdown, right? So maybe this was like, but again, you need to win football games if you're Philly. The way to win is to be boring. To rely on your defense, to not have Hurts turn the football over, not have the turnover specifically, and Hurts didn't turn it over today, but you saw other players on Philly turn it over. That's the whole formula for the Eagles here. So we're going to play really good defense. We're going to take advantage of your mistakes. And we're not going to make any on our own.
We just saw it wrapped up here. Sharp money. Tampa got killed by the Rams 34-7. Stafford, he'll probably be odds on now. Will he be even money as your MVP?
I think so. I think you're actually going to see like -125, -150, yep, somewhere in that range when we reopen. Drake May was the second choice today heading into the day. He was fine, but he wasn't great. He'll have a couple opportunities coming down the stretch. As the Patriots have two tough games to be able to come down and play, that'll be kind of those focal games. You've got the Bills, you've got the Ravens. So he's got two opportunities to impress, but Stafford just showed out on a Sunday night. He looked absolutely unstoppable at the start of this game. The arm angles that he was throwing at, the accuracy, it was incredible. And the defense was supporting him. We had a pick six in the first half here to make it 14-0 for the Rams. They just jumped down the Buccaneers' throat. And we'll have to see what's up with Baker, man, because that did not look good at the end of the first half. He was clearly dealing with something before throwing the Hail Mary. He throws the Hail Mary and just stays down on the field holding his shoulder, comes out in a sling in the second half. Tough, tough season for the Bucs, who, someone's got to win the NFC South, man. And I don't know who it's going to be if Baker Mayfield's not a Buck.
The Rams go to Carolina. It's 9.5 right now, but let's talk about Monday night here. Carolina's at San Francisco, and San Francisco all the way up to 7.5. I will take the 7.5.
Yeah, it would. Look, I have the over 48. We talked about that one last Sunday when the lines came out. I think the over is a good look here. I kind of like props here. I think this is a very bad San Francisco defense, and you're getting a Carolina offense that is functional enough. We saw 400-plus yards passing from Bryce Young. He'll have time. He should have open receivers. I like McMillan's over. He's sitting at 65.5 right now, so give me the over on Tet McMillan. I think Kittle has an opportunity for a big day as well. He's at 56.5 on the other side, but I like the over, and then I like some player props here because I think this is just going to be a back-and-forth football game. If I had to take a side, I agree with you. Take the points. When you don't lay 7.5 with a team that has no defense.
No, I like Carolina catching the number. Well, listen, we will have an edition of Sharp Money for you on Thanksgiving. We just want to quickly say happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays to everybody that takes the time to download the program. Mike and his family are going to be traveling, so travel safely. Matt Deutsch, our producer, and his family, happy holidays to you as well. Mike, travel safely.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Got a long day of travel tomorrow. Looking forward to the Wednesday recording so everyone can get all the Sharp Money info they want for those Thanksgiving days. So you can have a couple bets in your account as we watch football and stuff our faces with some turkey. Happy holidays to everyone out there. Appreciate it. If you're catching us in podcast form, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. If you're over at VSiN Live, appreciate you. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up so we can get out to as many people as possible. It's a good betting week, Patrick. We just got to keep it rolling now.
Yeah, and Black Friday, don't forget, $60 through May 1st. It's the best deal you're going to find. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. I'll end it like this. A lot of weird freaking outcomes today. The Lions win, but it feels like a loss. The Pats, meh. Philly up 21-0, lose the game. Turnovers, odd day.
Who do you think is your favorite to win the Super Bowl?
Please tell me it's the Rams.
It is the Rams with a bullet. This is the shortest price we have seen to win the Super Bowl right now. 4-1.
I was going to say 4.5. Okay.
4-1 on the Rams, 7-1 on the Eagles. Chiefs at +950. What's up, 12-1? Seahawks at 10-1. Seahawks and the Rams are the best two teams in football right now, and I trust the Rams way more in the postseason.
Totally agree. Samich, I'll see you, and we'll record and get a program up for everybody on Thanksgiving. I'll see you then.
Let's go, man.
Okay, Sharp Money. We'll see you.